Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dwell Differently. Overcome Negative Thinking with the Simple Practice of Memorizing God's Truth by Natalie Abbott and Vera Schmitz, narrated by Sarah Zimmerman. Dear friend. Okay, maybe not friend yet, but soon, by the end of this book, we hope you'll feel like a friend, like someone who knows us, really, really. We're sisters who love each other and Jesus, and warm buttery tortillas, and late night laughter, and swapping clothes, and all the things that make us sisters. We're also co-founders of Dwell Differently, a ministry and podcast that helps thousands of women find true life change through the simple practice of memorizing God's truth. Now we're bringing Dwell Differently to you in this book. We are completely ecstatic, and we want to invite you in. Yes, we're inviting you in to the Dwell Method. But more than that, we're inviting you into our lives. Not just our sunny day postworthy parts, but the uncurated, uncut versions of our lives, to show you the profound impact of dwelling in God's truth. We have seen victory and joy and goodness sprout up where there was only fear and insecurity and struggle. And this is what we want for you. We want to help you overcome your negative thoughts with God's truth. In this book, we're going to equip you to do just that. We're going to help you memorize 11 Bible verses in a shockingly simple way. We're going to teach you what they mean, tell you why they matter, show you how they've helped us overcome our struggles, and prompt you to consider how they might help you too. This is our hope and our prayer and our joy, to give you God's own true word so you can overcome your negative thoughts. We pray that victory and joy and goodness will sprout up from God's words planted in your heart and mind as you grow in love and knowledge of Him. Warmly and sincerely, Vera and Natalie. You need truth. 1. How are you doing, really? Vera. Everyone has stuff. A few weeks ago, my husband Matt and I got together with four other couples for dinner. We do this friendship dinner once a month where we share a meal and the hosts of the meal ask one question. While we sit together, we all answer the question. It might be a prompt that helps us know something about each person's childhood or who impacted them the most in their high school years or what life lesson they hope most to teach their children. It's a beautiful meal full of intentionality, laughter, and the joy of community. Two Sundays ago, the question was simple. How are you? There was one caveat. You were not allowed to answer with the words fine or good. What transpired over the next hour and a half was raw and real and a very clear reminder. We all have stuff. Big stuff. Work stuff. Health stuff. Relationship, marriage, friend, children stuff. Past stuff, present stuff, just stuff. When we left that night, Matt looked at me and said something he says a lot. I forget it sometimes, but we are all walking around with stuff, all of us. What about you? I want to ask you, how are you? Like really, really, how are you doing? My guess is that you aren't good or fine. Whether your pain point or problem is right at the surface, or it's something that you try to bury deep in you, it's there. If you answered honestly, you might tell me that your current circumstances are completely overwhelming you, and your spirit feels crushed beneath the weight of it all. Maybe the unknown of life scares you to death, and you just wish you knew what to do next. Maybe you're anxious all the time, and you feel like your negative thoughts hold you captive in your own mind. Maybe things are 98% great, but there's that last 2% lurking around the dark edges of your mind that, if you're honest, you have no idea what to do with. Like Matt said, we all have stuff. But what do we do with it? And you may be thinking, I've never had much success dealing with my stuff. What are you going to give me that's going to help? If I could give you one thing. If I could know your answer to how are you, if I knew your intimate secrets and the deepest longings of your heart, if I knew your greatest struggle, if I could see all the negative things you tell yourself, If I could look you straight in the eye and give you just one thing, I would give you God's word. God's word leading you. God's word healing your broken places. God's word fighting the lies. God's word encouraging your heart. God's word battling your insecurities. God's word giving you purpose. God's word in the middle of the night. God's word all day long. God's word for life and blessing and joy. God's word helping you overcome negative thoughts. God's word for you. No matter if you were my best friend, my worst enemy, the president, or my kid, if I had the privilege of knowing you and your struggle, God's word is the one thing I would labor to give you. Why? Just one verse, one small word from God is more powerful, more impactful, more beautiful, and more grounding than any other thing I could give you. Why is God's word the thing? In His word, the Bible, the God of everything big, small, vast, and deep is telling you His story, a story He wants to invite you into, a story about His goodness and His good plan to make all things right. God's words aren't just a self-help strategy, they are our best and only hope. His words are powerful because He is powerful. His words are beautiful because He is beautiful. God's words ground us because in them we find every true thing, every answer we need, not just to overcome our negative thoughts, but why we have them at all, what's wrong with the world, and how we can find hope and joy and goodness. All His promises are in that book, and they are true for any and all who would believe them. They are so, so, so good. The words we are going to learn are God's words. God has something to say to you specifically. My fingers are flying across this keyboard right now because I am so amped up to share this with you. I want to hop on my chair and throw my arms wide and proclaim at the top of my lungs that God has something to say to you. God has something to say specifically, individually, right now, and each and every day to you. He wants to step into your life, your every moment, your problems, your joys, your projects, and your purpose through His word. And His words for your life, those words aren't just true and helpful. They are the actual voice of God speaking into your life, even now. No matter your circumstances, God has a relevant, powerful word for you. And even just one verse has the power to change everything. How just one verse changed me. I know the power of just one verse because I've seen it again and again in my own life. God used just one verse to reach into my fear at 8 years old and change my heart and my eternity. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. God used just one verse to fuel me to run after Him in high school when so many of my friends were going the opposite direction. John chapter 10, verse 10. God used just one verse to comfort and care for my soul when I was in the darkest season of my life. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. I want to give you God's word because through it, God has truly changed my life. It is bread for my soul, a light on my path, and the hope for every struggle or situation I encounter. When you stand on one verse, when you fix your mind on it, when you speak it into your heart until it takes root, it changes everything. And because God has changed me through the power of His word, I've made it my life mission to give people that one thing. I help people memorize Bible verses. I know how that sounds super churchy, but what if God's word really is the thing? What if putting it in your head and heart changes everything? What if it's exactly what you need? And here I am up on the chair again, trying to convince you God's word is the thing. I believe this so strongly that I've committed my life to helping people memorize scripture. After God rescued me out of the absolute darkest season of my life with His true words, I just had to help other people too. So my sister Natalie and I started a ministry called Dwell Differently. We have a ridiculously simple method of memorizing Bible verses, and you're going to learn it in this book. And what started with a handful of friends and family has turned into thousands of people memorizing and meditating on one Bible verse every month. We send out monthly verse memory kits, host a weekly podcast, post weekly devotionals, and show up on all the socials. Seriously, we are over here doing every possible thing we can think of to help people get God's word into their hearts and minds for real life change. Here's where you come in. We wrote this book to give even more people, namely you, the thing, God's word in your head and heart. In it, we're going to learn and lean into 11 verses that speak a better word than the negative things we tend to say to ourselves. We're going to help you replace the lies and the doubts and the wrong thoughts in your mind with God's true words. And I can't tell you how pumped I am to learn these verses along with you. I just know that God is going to do extraordinary things through the seemingly ordinary practice of memorizing His words. I can't wait to get started. Where we're going, the roadmap. Before we get going, I want to tell you where we're headed and how we're going to get there. We're headed to victory over our negative thinking. Can you imagine? And let me tell you how we're going to get there. We're in this together. Natalie and I aren't just here to give you some helpful tools or a great how-to formula. No, we're actually going to walk through each negative thought pattern with you first, showing how we've struggled in each area. Then we're going to see what God has to say about it in His Word. And finally, we're going to help you interact with God in His Word through questions, prayers, prompts, and the like. So each chapter will have three main components: our problem, the solution, and your interaction. 1. Our problem, negative thoughts. In each chapter of this book, either Natalie or I will address a particular negative thought pattern. These are things we've struggled with too, so we'll give you examples from our own lives. But the goal isn't merely to be relatable, it's also to get your mind working on how you may struggle in the same area. Often we have trouble identifying our negative thought patterns, so we'll give you examples of what those sneaky negative thoughts sound like when they creep into our heads. We're going to model for you how we've personally identified and battled with our negative thoughts with God's truth. Want to hear more? Natalie and I made a limited podcast series just for this book that can be found at dwelldifferently.com/overcoming negative thinking. Each verse has its own episode where we talk honestly about what we've learned and how God has met us in it. 2. The solution, God's truth. This is it. This is the one thing I was talking about, God's own words to help you overcome your negative thoughts. But we aren't just going to help you put these words in your head like some magic spell to say over yourself to ward off bad thoughts. No, these verses are so much more than a mantra. These are the very words of God, who is all wise, all loving, and all good. They are deep and true and powerful. So we're going to dive into each verse, learning the meaning behind what we're memorizing. We want you to see where each verse fits into God's love song for His people, what it means and why it matters. Only then can we rightly apply it to our own lives. In each chapter, we're going to memorize a specific verse that fights each negative thought pattern. We chose 11 verses. I know 11 verses might sound overwhelming, but we've made it super simple. We've created 11 unique verse designs to help you memorize each verse and help them stick in your mind long term. I'll teach you how it works in the next chapter. Moreover, we've made all the things to help you memorize these verses: free screensavers, downloadable coloring sheets, and you can even purchase temporary tattoos so you can memorize your verses on the go. One last note here, you can skip ahead. If you're dealing with something really hard, by all means, go to that chapter first. Each chapter is a standalone look at one particular struggle, somewhat like a reference book. You want to finish out this chapter and listen to the next one so you can learn how the memory method works, but once you've done that, feel free to go where you need to go. 3. Your interaction. Apply the truth. Friend, if this book is anything, it is for you. It's for your good, for your help, for your personal life change. It's not for merely drilling verses into your head. Who cares if you learn every verse in the Bible, but they don't actually seep way down deep into your heart and transform you? God commands his people not just to fix his words in their minds, but also their hearts. See Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. And we want you to do just that, to let God's words find a place in your heart for real life change. This book is all yours. Use it as you see fit. One last thing. Get a journal or a blank notebook. At the end of every chapter, we're going to be asking you questions in a section called Apply the Truth. These are questions we want you to wrestle with and answer. We're going to give you prompts to prod you into deeper thinking and challenge you to pray and seek God in your struggles. You're going to want a place to write down your answers, thoughts, and prayers. And you'll want a place to practice writing out your memory verses. Even if you aren't a journaler, you probably are going to want a designated processing space. And if you write down what you're learning, you'll be able to look back and see all that God has done for you through the simple practice of memorizing and meditating on His true words. Apply the Truth. This is the place for you to consider what we've discussed in the chapter and apply it to your life. In this chapter, we talked about how we all have stuff. But the real question for you and me is, how are you going to deal with it? I've put together a few questions to help you start thinking about what you want to get out of this book. Here's the part where you are going to want to get out that journal. I've just told you my hopes for you, but what are your hopes for you? Specifically, take some time to reflect and pray through these questions. Was there ever a time when you really clung to a Bible verse or one of God's promises? What specifically about that verse spoke to you and your situation? How are you doing, really? What are some of the things you're struggling with right now? What are your fears or reservations about confronting those struggles? What are your hopes for memorizing God's truth? Look through the table of contents. Which chapter are you most anxious for? Why? Here's a prayer for you as you start out on this journey. God, would you meet me here? Would you help me be honest and vulnerable so I can see my true self and all of my stuff? You already know it all, and you want better for me. Here are some of the negative thoughts I struggle with. Will you help me memorize and meditate on your words so that I can find freedom and joy? Help me really understand and believe in your true words. They are powerful because they are from you. Please use them to work change in my heart and actions. Specifically, these are my hopes. They are the deep things of my heart and things only you can give. I trust you with them. And I pray with expectancy, knowing that you see me, you hear me, and you love me. Oh God, do what you alone can do in my life. Amen. What God's Word says about God's Word. Ever wonder what the Bible says about itself? Psalm 119 is a great place to go to read about the power of God's Word in the lives of those who believe it. Here are a few of the things listed there. God's Word exposes my wrong thoughts, motivations, and actions, elevates me when I'm low, humbles me when I'm prideful, makes the simple person, me, wise, lights my path, blesses me from shame, keeps my way pure, keeps me from sinning against God, brings me great delight, gives me life, overflows in me, cuts through the lies, defends me, strengthens me, encourages me, brings me joy and contentment, gives me life, confirms God's promises to his people, gives me an answer when there is none, gives me hope, comforts me in my hardships. Get the companion resources. Listen to the Dwell Differently book podcast. In each episode, Natalie and Vera will discuss a chapter of the book, They'll chat about what they're learning from the verses, their victories, and their struggles to overcome negative thinking with God's truth. Get free digital downloads of the verse designs, phone, watch, and computer lock screens, coloring sheets. Purchase the Dwell Differently companion items, items like temporary tattoos to help you easily memorize each verse, the Dwell Differently journal. 2. Truth to overcome negative thinking. Vera. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. Luke chapter 6, verse 45a. What's going on in our heads? We have only begun to scratch the surface of understanding the human brain, but what we do know about our thought life is pretty astounding. Studies differ on how many thoughts we have in a day, but it's probably more than you'd think. A recent study estimates that we have over 6,000 thoughts a day, and naturally many of those thoughts are repetitive. But here's the stark and startling reality about all those thousands of repetitive thoughts streaming through our heads. Most studies conclude that the majority of those thoughts are negative. One such study concludes that humans are naturally wired to think negatively as a means of avoiding future harm. So we have thousands of thoughts speeding through our minds all day long, and most of them are negative thoughts on a repetitive soundtrack. Yikes! The first time I read about this, I was shocked. Sure, I knew I had negative thoughts, but I had no idea that most of my thoughts were probably negative, and that I was living a sort of groundhog day of the same negative thoughts over and over again. That's a lot. And those negative thoughts on repeat all day, every day, are creating pathways in my brain. Every time I think a thought, I am likely to come back and think it again. And that repetitive way of thinking forms pathways in our brain. The more we travel them, the deeper the ruts get in the road. Or to think of it another way, what started out as a small path becomes a paved road and eventually turns into a 7-lane highway. It felt overwhelming to know this and daunting to imagine how I might make a change. Would it be possible to experience anything different? Or would I forever be subject to the worn-out pathways of negative thinking in my head? There is a different path. I can tell you from experience, not just mine, but from so many others, there is help. Yes and amen. There is a solution. You can form new paths of thinking. You can create new good thought pathways. And thankfully, you are listening to this book, which offers a proven biblical method for getting off the negative superhighways in your brain and forming new good and true pathways of thinking. We are going to teach you how to replace the lies and the doubts and the wrong thoughts in your mind with God's true words. Now, I'm going to make a leap here and assume that if you are listening to this book, you believe, or at least are considering believing, that the Bible is true. Perfect. What I love about the Bible is that you don't have to have your ducks in a row in order to interact with it. It will unfold and bring life and light to anyone who seeks God in it. So wherever you are, you're welcome here, even if you're feeling skeptical. The paths we're on. Negative superhighways. Before we can get started on the good paths we want to travel, we need to take a peek into our own heads and see the negative superhighways we're traveling day in and day out. One common one is the feeling that we are unlovable. These thoughts tell us we aren't pretty enough, or smart enough, or valuable enough to be loved. Or maybe one of our superhighways is that we're unacceptable. These thoughts center around all the ways we fail to measure up, all the things we didn't do, and all the ways we've not succeeded. Another possible superhighway is fear. These are all our worst-case scenario thoughts, the things that we Google and shouldn't, and all the bad possibilities that come at us time and time again. I've just mentioned a few things here, but do you see the pattern? Do you have patterns like this too? What are the superhighways of negativity you're traveling? you can get on a better path. What if we could reroute and start down some new walking paths of truth in our mind? At first, they will be just that, little tiny walking paths, but those walking paths will begin to wear in and become country lanes, then major four-lane roads, and eventually superhighways of truth in our minds. What if this were possible? If it's possible for the bad, then it must also be possible for the good. God's Word, A Better Path. In this book, we plan to fix our minds on what God says is true and beautiful and good. And we have the easiest way to help you dwell in it, meditate on it, and speak it to yourself until you have a super highway in your brain filled with God's Word, truth about who He is, how He loves you, how He gives you power over sin, how He equips you to fight anxiety and fear, how He is your one good thing in this world. His Word holds the true affirmations we will speak over ourselves and the thoughts we will fix our minds on. These affirmations are where our peace and confidence will find their firm foundation. Wait, is she talking about Bible verse memorization? Why, yes, yes, I am. This might be something that you don't want to do, don't know how to do, don't believe you can do. But I'm going to challenge you for one moment to stop and really check in with yourself. If you look deep enough, way deep down, I'm going to guess that if you really think about the freedom that is available to you, the idea of having God's true words about you, His loving, purpose-filled, safe, kind, generous words for your life, steeped in your brain and richly living in you, guiding your every thought, feeling, and action, you would admit that this is exactly what you want. You want a free mind and peace-filled spirit. Friend, these are available. It is possible. Even if you are skeptical, ask yourself, if it really worked, wouldn't it be worth a try? We're doing it one verse at a time, one chapter at a time. We've picked 11 of the most common negative superhighways we humans find ourselves speeding down. We've then prayerfully chosen a truth from God's Word to memorize and say to ourselves, creating new good pathways in our mind. Here are the pathways. Truth to overcome negative thinking. Truth when you feel unloved. Truth when you feel insecure. Truth when you feel unaccepted. Truth when you're anxious. Truth when you're depressed. Truth when you're afraid. Truth when you need direction. Truth when you can't pray. Truth when you need rest. Truth when you have troubles. But memorizing is hard. Okay, maybe. But here's where this book comes in. We've made memorizing simple. It's going to be easier than learning your state capitals, which I am actually not totally good on. I got just a few scientific reasons why the Dwell Differently method is so simple and effective. Hang with me just a moment. Many of us are visual learners. If you've ever tried to memorize anything just by reading it or writing it out, you may have failed. Either you didn't get it at all, or you could only retain it long enough to regurgitate it on a test, but then it was gone. I'm like you, not a great memory for memorizing. But when information is put in an image that relates to that information, it really does stick in my head. In writing this book, I actually stumbled across a small experiment done in a law class where the professor brought in art painted by his wife that corresponded to each lesson. At the end of the semester, many of the students commented that the art had been very helpful, even indispensable in learning the course material. The idea is that images help ideas burrow deep in our minds, carving out new spaces for new thoughts to make their way. Here's the point. When we have visual images to go along with what we're learning, we're far more successful in our recall of information. The human brain is easily tricked, and we use that to our advantage. If you write the first letter of every word in a verse in your notebook, when you see those letters, your mind is tricked into easily recalling the word itself. And this really helps you memorize the verse with ease. Truth plus image equals memorization. Memorization plus meditation equals new thought superhighways. New thought superhighways equals life change. So this is why we do...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?